Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the LifeWire podcast. And thank you guys for joining us on this Sunday, January 8th. Today's episode is about workouts and training in a progressively overloaded environment. And we just wanted to differentiate these two things because, you know, even for us as early trainers, you know, we were curious about, you know, what is the main difference? How do we actually implement, you know, progressive overload over time? Because I feel like, you know, we live in a world where, you know, there's a huge focus on like workouts. You know, we have a ton of different like formats of workout classes, you know, on social media, everyone's posting workouts, but it goes deeper than that. And there's more reasoning behind, you know, when to utilize like a one-time workout or when we should be progressively overloading our training. But before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Nash Nutrition. The Nash Bar is made with simple and nourishing ingredients, 20 grams of protein, and is naturally sweetened with honey and dates. And what a lot of people don't realize is that most of the so-called healthy protein bars that you find on the market are in fact heavily processed with fillers and unnatural ingredients. And we know that if we consume too much of this processed food too often, it can eventually lead to long-term health issues. So this is really why we love the Nash Bars. We never even have to think twice about the ingredients, and they truly are the good for you protein bar. So make sure you guys are setting your reminders. The next release is going down this week, February 1st at 6 p.m. So make sure you set those reminders for like 5:55, 5:58, whatever time you can get in before that 6 p.m. slot, to get yourself a box of bars to try. So on to today's episode. This is episode 120, workouts versus progressive overload. And so I kind of talked about this earlier in the intro, but you know, I feel like we're in this climate of fitness where like workouts are kind of what dominate. You know, follow this person's workout plan, or you know, Men's Health Magazine or some of these like big fitness brands are always like, you know, work out like so-and-so. And throughout all this, you know, literature and the way that it's worded and marketed, we really downgrade the power of progressively overloaded workouts and the power of just tracking and progressing our, you know, weight, our reps, our intensity over time. And it's important to say, you know, before we dive into the meat of this podcast, that both of these do serve a purpose. You guys are going to realize throughout this episode that there's a time and place to do a workout, and there's time and place for a progressively overloaded program, and there's a time and place for a mix of both. You know, Chris and I like to personally do a mix of both, for an example, and we know a lot of our clients like to do this too, where, you know, maybe there is a certain class or like yoga or like Pilates, like Christina's been doing, you know, a certain class or a certain format that we really enjoy, but it's not, you know, like we should be focused solely on that, you know, for our main source of fitness and for our main source of training. It can be supplemental. It can be something that we do weave throughout. We may even go through periods of time where we only work out. But I would argue that majority of the time, you know, we should be following some sort of progressed plan if we do have results that we're ultimately looking to achieve in our health and our fitness. And this is easily one of the biggest shifts that we see with clients when they join our coaching programs. Is 9 times out of 10, you know, we hear this almost all the time. I almost said all the time, but very close to all the time, like 90% of the time from clients where they say, you know, I've really just been like working out, or I've been going to workout classes, or I kind of just, you know, do what I feel like going into the gym. And we see a massive shift in their body composition and their results over time when we do put them into a progressed program. And the beautiful thing is, you know, it doesn't matter if you've got 3 days to give, even if you have like 2 days to give, obviously like three is the minimum we really want to shoot for, but whether you have 2 days to give, 3 days to give, I'll even give it a better example, even 1 day to give with my parents, for example, you know, no matter what you can dedicate to your training, it can be progressed. It can be progressively overloaded. We can track the load, we can track, you know, the volume, we can track the intensity and how those things are progressing over time, because we really do have to make a mental shift when it comes to this topic. And what I mean by a mental shift, it's going from, hey, I'm going to get these results from this one workout, to I'm going to get results over time. And I think that that's the biggest shift that people have to make, because, you know, when you go on social media, a lot of times you'll see posts where it's like six minute routine to get shredded abs, or it's like, you know, two supersets for your biceps to get massive biceps. And it's like, not really, you know, there's more context to this where, you know, it's not just one workout, one exercise, one thing that we do in one day that's giving us like instant results. It's going to be our efforts over time. And I think that that's the most important thing we need to just differentiate, because I think a lot of times, you know, we will go into training sessions thinking, oh, like I want to get, like, I think a lot of guys do this where it's like, oh, I want to like get my arms jacked today. Like I'm just going to rip biceps. But then like next week, maybe I don't even do the same exercises, or maybe I don't even hit biceps. And then there's no progression. Like, we're not going to get results from one workout. And we're going to kind of explain like what you do get out of one workout versus a progress program.
Yeah, and I think this is just like that saying when it comes to nutrition, where you won't get fit from one healthy meal and you won't lose progress over one, quote, bad meal, which we don't like to use the words good and bad for meals. We use soul food and goal food for that reason. But the same thing goes for training. Like, you're not going to get like six-pack abs from one workout. It's the progression over time. And that's what a lot of like fitness magazines, a lot of fitness Instagrams will lose sight of, and even subscription-based apps out there. So thinking of an example, I just had a client end 9 months of working with me, and she came in doing Peloton and Orange Theory. And she said the biggest change she saw was literally just progressively overloading her at-home workouts. All we did was like dumbbell workouts at home, but following the same program for 4 weeks and progressively overloading is where that body recomposition happens. If you're someone who has seen initial progress in your fitness journey and then lost like a significant amount of weight, but then you hit a plateau. Like, the plateau typically comes from what we've seen with clients not eating enough protein, which we have a ton of episodes on, and also not having progressive overload. So there is a time and place for both, and we'll talk through the different concepts of both.
For sure. And, you know, I really do think it's just important to realize, guys, that like a lot of times, like these social media accounts, you know, the different stuff you see online, like they're smart at which they're using this verbiage, because they know that you want instant results. They know that instant results are very marketable. So they're going to use verbiage. And at the end of the day, it's unfortunate because it just confuses people, because people really do believe like, I can hit this one set of biceps, I'm going to get big biceps. I can hit this one set of abs, or like a couple set of abs, and I'm going to lean out my stomach. And it just does not work like that. And so, you know, I think it's just an important time to talk through like, what is like the true science of progressive overload? Like, what is actually happening like when we utilize this technique? And at a very simple In a very simple explanation, it just means that you are making your workouts more challenging over time in the form of intensity, how intense is each set. You know, and we can manipulate that intensity through things like tempo, things like range of motion, things like time, volume, total reps that we're using, and that's what I mean by volume, or load. So there's many different ways that we can make these workouts more challenging over time. And so, you know, when we break this thing down, I think it's just important to realize that like, it doesn't have to necessarily be like one of those things. You know, it can be a mix of those things. Like, I like to do that in my training, where it's a progression of, you know, we're progressing volume over time, we're progressing the weight we're using over time, we're progressing maybe even the tempo, you know, that we're using on a certain exercise. And so what this is going to do is it's going to allow the body to adapt over time. And that's the biggest key component of progressive overload is, you know, if we're doing, for example, if we're trying to grow our biceps, you know, I just said it's not going to happen in that one workout. It's going to happen, you know, repeating those bicep exercises again and again and again, slowly making it more challenging, creating more adaptation in the muscles, creating more adaptations in the body. And a lot of times when we are, you know, in a workout class format, or if we're just, you know, kind of going into the gym and just doing whatever we feel like, we're not discounting these things. You know, again, any movement, any activity, any form of working out is going to be beneficial. But if you do have goals you're trying to achieve, we do have to realize that we're going to fall more into that more of like a maintenance phase, or like more of like maintenance training, when we are just kind of going in and doing whatever we feel like, just not really progressing or seeing tangible results over time. But when we can really follow that progression where we're building week after week after week, that is really where we're going to start to see results over time. That's where we're going to see muscle being built. That's where we're going to see numbers going up from a strength perspective. So it really does come down to what we're doing over time, not what we do maybe, you know, in one workout.
Yeah, and another way that you progressively overload, I know with my training in particular, is like even on a conditioning day, like progressively overloading that cardio piece, whether it was like doing 30 seconds of rowing and then later on it was like 45 seconds, then it was a minute. That's something a lot of people don't progress, but we get comfortable. And if you stay in that comfort zone, you do not grow. And that's where a lot of the progressive overload happens. And I think for women, like you said, like for guys, it's like mostly like six pack or abs. It's very catchy. And I see a lot of Instagram workouts that are like, build your glutes this one workout. And it's like, your glutes aren't going to grow from that one workout. It's going to happen from maybe repeating that workout for 4 weeks and progressively overloading with increasing the weight, the sets, the reps. But just on a basic Instagram workout, the Instagram, you know, author or user isn't putting that in the caption that like, you have to be beating yourself, you know, week after week. Next, we're going to talk about scenarios when workouts make sense over following your training program. And this can go for many different seasons of your training journey. I think in the very beginning stages, when you're just trying to like get in the gym, you experience what's called newbie gains, where you do see some body recomposition and initial progress from just doing different workouts. Like that's why a lot of people do see quite a bit of progress in those workout classes I talked about, like F45 and Orange Theory. Typically what I see clients do for like a year, maybe a year and a half before they reach that kind of expiration date, I guess you could say, of when workouts will make sense for you. And then they need a progressively overloaded like custom program to their goals to really see body composition change. Like you may see initial weight loss and see like some muscles start to grow, but that's just because your body's kind of like shocked from doing nothing and then going to a workout class for a year consistently. So I think the beginning stages of your fitness journey, workouts can make sense. When you're in a maintenance phase, for example, and you've built that foundation of lean muscle mass and you're just trying to stay fit and just maintain your current physique and you're not looking to actively grow more lean muscle mass or see that, you can kind of see, you can definitely see body recomposition at maintenance. But if you're looking to see more lean muscle mass, then following a progressively overloaded training program at maintenance would make sense. So it's a good time to at maintenance play around with switching up your active rest days. And this is something that we allow our clients the freedom to do. I do as well, even though I'm in a cutting phase right now, where my active rest days, I'll weave in like classes, like Zach said, like Pilates class. I'll do an active rest day where I'm focusing on conditioning, but it's fun to like switch up your active rest days if you get into kind of just like that mode of like following your training program and you kind of get bored of that style. It's good to switch up like just one day per week. Like on Saturdays, we focus on just like a Saturday sweat. Like we'll go to the gym, we'll do whether it's cardio, some core, or we'll do like full body like conditioning piece, or I'll go to a workout class. And sometimes it is like, there's a lot of studios in Columbus, so it's not always like an Orange Theory based class, but we have like System of Strength and stuff like that, where it's just fun to like switch things up and get around other people. Which brings me to the next point is if you're in like a funk of your training program where you're doing the kind of the same thing, you're kind of getting bored of just like going in the gym or even doing just at home workouts, sometimes it can help, especially in the winter months, to just like get out and try something new, because then you're getting your heart rate up. You naturally push yourself more when you're surrounded with other people. So I think it's helpful to get out of a funk when you're at the beginning stages of your fitness journey at maintenance. And also for Zach and I, when we're traveling, it makes a lot of sense just to do workouts. We'll front load our progressive overload workouts. Like for me, I'll do 3, Zach does 4. Then when we travel, we're just once again working on that like weekend sweat. We're just getting our heart rate up. We're getting some movement in. And we're not trying to progressively overload those like active rest day workouts necessarily, but it serves a purpose for us to just increase our TDEE for that day. Help us break a sweat is something that's truly a non-negotiable. If I don't work out like in exactly that workout when I'm on a trip or when we're even at home, like visiting family, I get very irritable. It affects my mood. So like using your movement as like a mood booster, as a TDEE booster when you're traveling can really make a lot of sense. And last but not least, when you're pregnant as well, a lot of my clients, like the main thing you want to focus on when you are pregnant and training is you're not trying to push for PRs. Like we're not trying to really progressively overload in this stage of your training journey. We're mostly trying to maintain the lean muscle mass you have and just move your body in a way that feels good. That's going to look different every day. So I have some clients where they do at-home workouts during pregnancy and it's like 3 full body days, and then they have like a Peloton day, which helps them to switch things up, and then a day where they just like stretch, focus on mobility and a step goal. So it's the split depends on what phase of your fitness journey you are in, and also like mentally where you're at. Like, are you in a phase where you just need something to like boost your mood because you're out of town or you're in a funk, like I said? It just really has a time and place where you can weave in those workouts, but we do most of the time, and that's what this podcast is really about, is that like following a training progressive overload program allows us to have that freedom because we have a foundation of lean muscle mass already.
Yeah. And Christina kind of said it throughout there a couple times, but a really important concept to understand with this differentiation is the intent. Like, what are we actually getting out of the exercise or out of the workout, for example? And you'll notice that Christina said throughout there multiple times, like, it's going to increase our TDEE. So like, when you guys are thinking of these workout classes, or you're thinking about just like going into the gym, getting a, you know, one-time workout in, like, what are we really getting from that? At the end of the day, we're really just getting caloric burn, calorie burn. Like, we're burning calories from that workout. That's why like a lot of the workout classes, like if that's your predominant form of exercise, yes, being under load, having a certain amount of resistance is going to create some muscle adaptations. But this is why a lot of people just kind of maintain, or, you know, maybe they do experience weight loss, you know, or leaning out a little bit. but they're not necessarily creating like massive change to the body recomposition or even like muscle tissue. So at the end of the day, like when we look at like a workout class format or like going into the gym, most of the time, or like going to the gym and just doing whatever, we're really just like burning calories. Like, and that's really how I want you guys to think about that. And then like when we are repeating, when we are progressing, that's really where the magic is happening from a strength gain perspective, from a muscle gain perspective. Things are just going to progress more optimally in that environment. You're going to have very sporadic results if you're just, you know, relying solely on say like a workout class where you're using the same amount of weights every week, and you're really training more so cardiovascularly, whether it's aerobic or anaerobic, like with oxygen, without oxygen, depending on intensity. At the end of the day, it really is just like weighted resistance cardio at the end of the day. And so the next kind of concept that we want to talk about is just this differentiation with intensity, because, you know, this is a mistake that is very common. And I even used to make it as a former D1 athlete. I remember like early on as a trainer, like I still had a decent amount of like foundational knowledge around resistance training and lifting weights and whatnot. But I was just like going through a phase where I was doing way too much. Like if you went back to some of like my first workouts that I ever posted as a trainer, like on social media, for example, like it was like, you know, five rounds of these three or four exercises, five rounds of this, five rounds of this, five rounds of this. And like nowadays, like I don't even remotely get close to that amount of workload, because like my body couldn't handle it with how hard and how intense I train. And I believe that this whole idea of intensity is truly a practice that happens over time, because, you know, I just said it there, like I came from a pretty foundational like background of strength conditioning, of weightlifting, and I was still making this mistake more times than not. When a former athlete joins my program, this is a huge shift that we have to make in doing less but more intense. And when I say intensity, a lot of people think like, okay, load. Like the first thing that pops into most people's mind when they think intense is like some dude lifting like 400 pounds on a back squat. That's not what I mean. It's all about how can we make this set, this one set we are doing on whatever exercise, really fucking hard. Like that is intensity. It's like, and it doesn't always mean load. Sometimes it actually means maybe going a little bit lighter, going through a deeper range of motion, going really slow. Like anytime you guys are going like really fast through exercise, unless it's an explosive movement, you know, that's a different story. Like if it's explosive, that's the intent. We want to be moving fast. We want to be hitting those fast twitch muscle fibers. But 9 times out of 10, when you see people in the gym or you're training in the gym, like you're going to be doing so to build muscle, to build lean tissue. And so when we have that as the outcome we're looking to achieve, intensity is everything. And it doesn't always mean heavier loads. It really does mean how can we make each one of these sets harder on the muscle tissue? And, you know, why is this so uncommon? Because doing harder sets is hard. Like it's not comfortable. It's really uncomfortable. And that's why I believe it's truly a practice, because the more time you spend in the gym under load, practicing intensity, practicing different movement patterns, the better you get at doing these different exercises and movement patterns, the better you're going to elicit this intensity that I'm talking about. And so it really is important, guys, to like the sooner you can get into the mindset of like harder sets, less but more intense, literally you will get more out of your training and have to do way, way less. This is where like over, you know, the last 4+ years, I've really shifted to the mindset of like, if we can train at an intense level, there is no need to train more than 3 to 4 days per week, to be quite honest. And especially within each workout, you do not need to be in the gym for longer than an hour. Like you can get so much out of less than an hour in the gym with the proper intensity. You know, I've gone from doing, you know, 10 to 20 freaking exercises in a workout to like now I'm doing like 4 to 6 like staple lifts, 6 on the high end. Honestly, most leg days, because I train my legs like really intensely, most leg days I'm doing like literally 3 or 4 exercises total before I dive into conditioning. Most times, like literally 3 exercises, like 3 exercises. It's crazy, because like most people think you have to spend hours and hours and hours in the gym, but at the end of the day, it just turns into junk volume. It just turns into, you know, we're doing all this different random stuff, but we're not getting to that intensity. So why do that when we could just do less at a higher intensity and get out of the gym quicker and get better results and have better recovery? So again, it's just so important to differentiate, you know, the junk volume versus true hard sets, true hard intensity. So anytime your workout program says 3 sets, 4 sets, 2 sets, 4 sets, whatever it is, those are your hard working sets. Don't add warm-up sets in there. Treat your warm-up sets completely separate from whatever the working sets are inside your plan.
And also don't add to your workout, especially if you have a coach. Like, we program for so many different reasons. Like, there's so much detail that goes in on the back end. And the reason why your workout is maybe as short or long as it is because, like, at the end of that, you shouldn't really have much left in the tank. Like, you want to be as, like, focusing on intensity, range of motion, and tempo.
And if you do have anything left in the tank, you probably didn't work out hard enough.
Yes, we need to reevaluate each set and what that really looked like. Was it truly like an 8 out of 10 RPE, or were you just going through the motions? And I think there's a really fine balance between going through the motions and getting nothing out of your lift. Like, if you're using a really light weight and just staying at the same weight, reps, everything for like a month at a time, you may be stimulating your muscle fibers, but you're not tearing them down enough to create that adaptation and muscle hypertrophy that we're looking for, which is muscle growth. And also, there's a difference between going through the motions and ego lifting, which is something that I have my clients look out for too. Because if I see like we're not getting the full depth of a squat or our form is being sacrificed, I'm like, hey, pull back on the weight and you'll feel it so much more because you're not going quickly through the movement and you're also getting that full range of motion. And also, no one's paying attention. Like, if you're lifting heavy just because like you don't want to grab a lighter weight in the gym, I promise you, no one's paying attention to what weight you're lifting. They're looking at, is your form correct? Maybe, but they're not paying attention to how heavy you're lifting.
And I like that you mentioned the ego lifting, because I do truly feel like, especially with coaching this whole idea of intensity to in-person clients, to online clients, like trying to get the point across, it truly is like a fine equilibrium. Like, too much, we're starting to tap into ego lifting. Too little, it's not intense enough. That's why I am always a fan. Like, I swear, if there was like anything I could just like transport mentally over to you guys, it is literally this concept of like range of motion, tempo, mind muscle connection. I tell my clients this like almost daily, but if you can prioritize those three things as it relates to intensity, like let the load take a back seat. Like, next time you're in the gym and you're warming up, like chase deep ranges of motion, chase slow tempo, like control the weight, especially on the big compound movements like a back squat where there's so much shit going on in your body. Like, you're bending through literally three different major joints. Like, there's so many or just areas of overcompensation that can take over. So it's like, I promise you guys, next time you're in the gym, if you can just really, really focus on those three principles, like slowing down, full range of motion, and then mind muscle connection. Am I actually feeling this exercise in the targeted muscle group I'm trying to hit? And I'm telling you guys, if you can really start to shift the mental focus to those three things every single time you're working out, I guarantee, you know, your body's going to feel so much better. You're going to have less pain. You're not going to get injured, because anytime we do get injured, we're literally just doing weight we can't handle. And you are going to get better results over time. You're just going to feel so much better. You're going to see better results. I promise.
And on that note too, before I dive into the benefits, like the pros and cons of workout classes, one huge benefit I saw by going to Pilates, for example, and this is why I pushed myself to do it, because if you find that you struggle at something or something is really hard, like, you should lean into that. And for me, doing tempo is something that I thought I was focusing on really well, like a 3 to 4 second eccentric, but in Pilates, they make you do a 6 second like tempo. And if you don't know what that eccentric movement is, think about like in a squat, like on your way down, if you count like 1, 2, 3, 4, even a 5, like a little bit of a pause, then explode up. Like, that's what we're talking about with going slow in those movements. The concentric is where you drive up in the squat, like even a bicep curl. If you just focus really hard, and this is number one goal for women coming into my program, is push-ups and pull-ups. And I'm like, we're not going to focus on doing the pull-up or the push-up. We're going to focus on the push-down and do really, really slow tempo with eccentric push-ups and pull-ups, doing the eccentric motion as well, but for 4 to 6 seconds. Because in Pilates, it was so humbling for me to think like, how can I not lift this cable for 6 seconds?
And think about how fast you fatigued, like how fast you were reaching muscular failure in that moment.
Yeah. And it was very humbling and very eye-opening. And I've brought that over into my training practice, where I'm like, okay, just like really slow down and each movement, treat it like the Pilates trainer is going to say like, hey, you're going too fast. Cause they typically tell me that in the class, they're like slow down everything you're doing. And it really makes you get more out of the workout. Even if I'm taking off a spring, like basically that's the resistance in a Pilates class. I'd rather take off a spring and get full range of motion and tempo than be going super quick with heavier weight.
Mm-hmm.
The same goes for lifting.
And because you're going to be more susceptible to injury that way too. Like, when we just think logically about this, like if you guys are moving, like I said, unless the intent is an explosive exercise, which is like a very small percentage of your training for most people, but like most of the stuff you guys are doing, when you go super fast, you are putting yourself in an environment to potentially have error, to have error of the movement causing pain, causing potential injury. Anytime we go slow, I used to tell this to my in-person clients a lot, like you have so much opportunity to correct. Like if I'm going into a like walking lunge, for example, if I'm like ripping through those walking lunges, balance and coordination is going to be all over the place. I'm barely going to even like target the muscle because I'm so unbalanced. But if we like drop super slow into that lunge, say the balance starts to get out of whack a little bit, we can flex the core, we can squeeze the legs, we can get ourselves right back in track. So like even going slow, we have more opportunity to correct ourselves. If we say we start getting off path, or say the rep starts to, you know, kind of get out of whack, like we have such an opportunity to correct and to get back on track with what we're trying to get out of that exercise.
And before we dive into the next topic, can you explain some explosive movements? Because as we're talking about like the difference between the two, just in case someone doesn't know.
Yeah. So it's like, when should we be moving fast? I did a whole post on this. Like, when should we be moving fast? When should we be moving slow? And anytime we're trying to like train an explosive exercise, this means we're going to be doing like speed strength. So it's lighter weight at quicker velocity. So this means like, you know, if you're doing like a kettlebell swing, we obviously don't want to pick a load so heavy that we can't go quick. We want to find that perfect, you know, kind of stimulus where it's relatively lighter so that we can move it really fast and really quick. Same kind of thing with like a jump, or like a dumbbell squat jump, for example, or like, you know, a jump lunge or something like that, like something plyometric. Like the whole goal is to move super fast, to, you know, train our athletic ability, to train, like, for example, for sports performance, anything that's going to allow us to have that just athletic stimulus, that power stimulus, that explosive stimulus is where we want to move the light weight quick. Now, on the other hand, you know, say we're utilizing an exercise, you know, to grow the muscle, this is where, you know, going slow is going to be our best friend. And most of you inside the gym are trying to build lean muscle. And like I would say, like, that's most people's goal inside the gym. So going slow is always going to pay off versus going fast. So again, unless you have like, which I think it is good for everyone to do like a little bit of explosive training, just because like if you enjoy doing just everyday like athletic activities, or like fucking around and playing like rec basketball or something like that, like whatever it is, I just think it's important to like at least maintain some sort of athletic ability, even just being able to like catch yourself in certain situations, like from a balance and coordination standpoint. So I think it's important to train those things, but 9 times out of 10, like if you guys are doing like a lateral raise, or like, you know, a bench, like, and again, we can argue the nuances, like with a bench press, yes, you can do it fast. If you're trying to work like that punching speed, like say you're a football player, you're making contact, like it's going to be important to do like explosive bench, but when are we trying to do the explosive bench to get the explosive benefits? And then when are we trying to do like the slow bench to get the muscle building benefits? And that's kind of the differentiation that you guys need to think about, is like, when I'm going into this workout or this set, what am I getting out of it? Is the focus to build muscle from this, or is it to build my power, build my explosiveness from this exercise? And when you can have that differentiation mentally as you approach the exercise, it'll make a whole lot more sense on when to go slow and when to go fast.
Exactly. And a lot of what you were talking about right there segues perfectly into the benefits of workout classes, but also the pitfalls of workout classes. And the main one that falls into both categories is form. I think that workout classes are helpful when you first dive into working out, because you can visually see the instructor. For example, I'm going to use like Orange Theory F45, like a bootcamp style class here, where they're showing in front of the class, like doing demos of like lunging and shoulder presses and these certain exercises. So I think that seeing someone else execute the form in that situation, just like with in-person training, like I think it's really helpful to experience that once in your life, or for if you're someone who wants to be an online trainer, to do in-person training so you can really help with the cues and correcting form, because it really builds a strong foundation. But I also think this shows up as a con of workout classes, because there's not a lot of attention to detail. Like, they're not able to watch 25 people in one workout class and say like, hey, you're executing that squat wrong, here's how we can fix it. And maybe they do that to like one or two people, but if you're constantly doing your squat wrong, you're probably going to feel like you're in pain. Then you're going to associate lifting with pain, and you may fall off just as quickly as you started working out. So I think that form is something that is a pro and a con of workout classes, but also it's something to just be very mindful of, that there's not a lot of attention to detail, but you can visually see other people doing it, but they also have to be doing it correctly. So another thing that helps as a pro of workout classes is community. So like I said, if you're someone who works out from home, I think these became super popular after COVID, just because a lot of people were very isolated, and being surrounded by other people does push you to work harder But like I said, don't let your ego lifting come into play here. But even me, like I work from home all day long. I work out in a gym that's like in my apartment complex. So I actually like getting in my car, driving to a class, being surrounded by other people, and also just like turning off my trainer brain and having someone tell me what to do is nice for me. So I think that is a pro, that like being surrounded by other people, even if it's just like 1 or 2 days of your training, you know, split for the week, most of the time you're still doing progressive overload and being very intentional on all these things we talked about, the tempo, the weight, the form. And then also with the pro for training in a workout class is the accountability that comes with a cancellation fee. This is the biggest thing I see when I help transition women from like group fitness classes to like working out on their own, like with online coaching, is they say like, it really helps me get there because I know if I cancel on ClassPass or Orange Theory, whatever it may be, I get a $15 to $20 cancellation fee. And one of my clients actually created this, and this is something I always recommend if this is a situation you're struggling with, and it's having like a Venmo account or a little like tip jar almost for yourself, where if you do cancel a workout, you put money in that account. So you visually have to see like when you have canceled on yourself, and you're giving that money back to like, whether it was like to Zach, and I say like, hey, if I cancel this class, you have to take this money. It's no longer mine. So it's almost like initiating a cancellation fee for yourself. But group fitness classes can help with that accountability because someone's there on the other end waiting for you to show up. And if you don't, there is a consequence essentially. It's also nice to, like I said, get out of the house if you work from home, but a lot of the cons are very similar to the pros. No customization, no attention to detail or form, the cost obviously for the monthly membership, and then if you cancel a class. And the most important one is that there's no progressive overload. So every single like F45 session week by week or Orange Theory session, they're not the same. And even if you go on a similar day, like I know the System of Strength here in Columbus, they have a split per week where you can see like, oh, this is the upper body day, I'm going to go on that day. Or this is the lower body day, I'm going to go this day. Full body days are on Wednesdays, I'm going to go to that full body day. But it's never the same week by week. And you also don't have enough time. This is the biggest struggle for me, is like, even when I go to these classes, I want to progressively overload. Like when I'm doing a spin class, when I'm doing the cables at my Pilates class. But there's no way to like track the weights you're doing in that moment. You're moving so quickly through each station or through each superset or circuit that like, you truly don't remember what weight you chose last time, because they have like 5 dumbbells in front of you and you just choose and try, you know, you hope for the best that this is going to be the right resistance or RPE that you're looking for. But also the main point of these classes, like Zach talked about, is to boost your TDE and burn calories. So you also don't want to be choosing a weight that's so heavy you can't perform it for whatever, a minute long set like circuit. So it's important to find that sweet spot, but it's really hard to find that sweet spot when it's moving so quickly and you can't track your weight. So it's very difficult to create progressive overload. Plus they're always switching the workouts, the exercise selection, the circuits every single week. So you're not ever repeating the same workout twice. And that's the point of why people enjoy group classes, I think, because it's something exciting and you're quote shocking your body every single session, but you don't need to shock your body like that. Like the truth of the matter is, if you're trying to really create body recomposition, you need to stay consistent and get out of your comfort zone with RPE and with all these things we talked about with intensity. It doesn't always mean going up in weight, but you do have to get out of your comfort zone. And for a lot of people, going to a workout class can be getting out of your comfort zone in the sense of being social and working out around other people. But at some point, I do see for a lot of people, your body stops responding if that is your like main form of working out. So it is a perfect mix of like, if you are looking for body recomposition where you're seeing body fat decrease, lean muscle mass increase, resistance training, progressive overload workouts is where the magic happens. But you can sprinkle in these workouts and group classes for that reason of like getting your heart rate up, having that community, having accountability. If you find it like very boring to go and walk on an incline for 30 to 45 minutes or run solid for like 30 minutes on the treadmill, then going to these classes helps get your heart rate up, helps you stay social, helps you burn those calories. But if that's your main form of workouts, you'll notice that you will see weight loss, but you may not see that body recomposition you're really looking for. And a lot of people coming into a coaching program too, and we really elaborate on like truly what are your goals with this program. For a lot of people, they list out weight loss, but what they're really looking for is to feel fit, to feel leaner. And that doesn't always correlate to weight loss. It could correlate to losing body fat and building more lean muscle mass, but we cannot tone muscle we don't have. And you're not going to create that muscle that's quote toned in workout classes alone. You have to build lean muscle mass. Then you can burn those calories, show it off with workout classes, but true body recomposition happens with progressive overload most of the time, sprinkling in these workouts.
I love that. And so we want to give you guys like actual tips on, if you're someone listening, you're like, hey, I want to progress my program, or I want to like at least track my workouts from here on out. I'm going to give you a perfect example of doing this. And obviously I could, you know, talk about a million different combinations, but for the sake of this example, I'm going to give like an example 3-day split, an example 4-day split. So if you're someone that has 3 days to work out, you need progressive overload, you need to start tracking your progress, do 3 full body days. And on each one of those days, hit at least one, like one exercise per muscle group, around 3 to 4 sets and like 6 to 12 reps. So you're in that hypertrophy rep range. You're getting enough total volume with the 3 to 4 sets for the week as a whole when we add all that up. So again, 3 to 4 sets, 6 to 12 reps on each one of the exercises. Pick one exercise per major muscle group: chest, back, shoulders, legs, arms, abs. And then literally hit the same reps on every single one of those exercises over 4 weeks and just increase the weight you are using. Try to at least each and every week. Or you could also, you know, keep the weight the same. Like if you're someone with minimal equipment, you could keep the weight the same and then increase the volume. So start at like 6 reps in week 1, then go to 8 reps, then 10 reps, then 12 reps by week 4. So that's a perfect example where you could easily build out a 3-day split literally from that information I just gave. And then if you have 4 days to work out, this is where I like to do like upper lower days. And on the upper days, I'll do like a shoulder and arm day, a chest and back day. And then on the leg days, I'll do like a backside posterior day and then a quadricep day. Very similar, you know, try to break up, you know, basically like those two muscle groups throughout the workout, doing anywhere between like 4 to 6 exercises per inside of those workouts. Same exact thing. You can either progress the load or you can progress the reps over time. So whichever approach you want to take, again, if you have minimal equipment, obviously you're going to have to progress the volume and progress the reps over time. But if you are working out at a gym, try to make those small increases in weight over time, keeping the reps the same. So whichever way you would like to distribute it, you can distribute it either way. But that is like the easiest way you guys can start tracking and progressing the progress, is keep those movements the same, at least for the next 4 weeks, increasing either the load or increasing the volume, like I mentioned. And that's going to get you some awesome results with enough variation. That's really why I like doing 4-week blocks, because you're still getting the progressive overload that you need to see those adaptations over time, but then also giving yourself enough variation where you're not like having to follow the exact same exercises, you know, for like 12 weeks at a time, for example. So it keeps things a little bit fun, keeps things a little exciting while still getting that progressive overload.
And I think 4 weeks is a perfect timeline where we see with ourselves and clients, like in that round 4, you're really able to achieve that 10 out of 10 RPE and understand what it should feel like. And that's the week where you're kind of starting to maybe get a little bit bored of these movements. And then boom, you have a new phase the following week. And that's why we have a ton of episodes on progressive overload, RPE, if you guys are confused on these topics or just want more of an explanation. But another example of like where a 3-day split would make sense for somebody, and I love that you explain exactly how to write that out for yourself, because for example, I do have 4 days where I can dedicate to working out, but with my back injury, it's tough to put a lot of lower body movements in one day. The compound effect of all of those movements, even done when done correctly, when done with lighter weights, it's just the compound effect of that. So if you're someone who has like back pain, or you have a certain injury where like doing a full lower body day doesn't feel good to you, full body is a really great split where you can still progressively overload it. I think when people think of full body workouts, I used to think this too, it was like a boot camp workout where I'm just getting my heart rate up, I'm doing it for like a minute straight with light weights. But you can, like, truly in my notepad on my phone, I'm looking back at the week before, and if I lifted, you know, a certain weight for 8 reps, I'm either increasing the weight or I'm increasing the reps every single week. So with us giving rep ranges too for our clients and for you guys, like Zach said, like 6 to 12 reps, that may seem like, oh, I want more direction, I want more like do this exact amount of reps. Like, it's hard to progressively overload when you only can use weight. Like if we say 10 reps every single week, then you have to increase the load versus increasing the reps. So we like to give that freedom to not only have like a 4-day split, but a 3-day split, to not only hit a certain amount of reps, but to truly get the most out of every movement with the ranges that we provide. And then the last thing we want to talk about today is mostly a mindset shift of like the power of basic movements versus no movement at all. And this is helpful during many different seasons of your life, like I just talked about with injury. Like back when I couldn't train for 2 weeks straight, like I still got to the gym every day, did mobility and got my steps. And like movement can look different in different seasons of life. And I actually did a post on this recently because I was at my spinning class thinking about, with conversation I've been having with more of my clients becoming pregnant, it's, you're not always going to feel like doing a lift, like whether it's with morning sickness or your energy is low. Like, you're not always going to look forward to doing like a leg day when you are feeling like shit, to be honest. So understanding that like movement looks different every day, but your non-negotiable isn't a workout. Your non-negotiable is movement. So keeping it simple and remembering something over nothing is always going to be that mindset we want to create. But this is helpful not only with pregnancy, with injury, but with a busy schedule. Like Zach and I have talked about previously, like in seasons of our life where we're so busy, we'd rather get in the gym for 30 minutes and cut off a superset at the end than not go at all and get zero movement. And for us, that's a mental thing just as much as it is a physical thing. It feels good to work out, but you need to think about movement like as medicine, both mentally and physically, but also making sure that you are what you do most of the time. Like if you're truly focusing on the progressive overload most days per week, if you wake up one day and you're like, I don't feel like doing a lift today, that's okay. Go schedule a workout class. If you know like it's a busy day, your energy is going to be low after work, you're not going to want to hit the gym when it's dark out at 5 p.m., will scheduling a workout class where you have a cancellation fee be what you need that day? Maybe. Then tomorrow you can do your lift. Like you still have that freedom to change things around for the week. You don't have to get so concrete and black and white and all or nothing mindset when it comes to your movement that day, your movement per week. Do what feels good. Listen to your body. And really develop that mindset that like when you master the basics, everything else is taken care of. Like you don't need 12, 15 exercises in one workout. You just need to master the basics, do them correctly with time and attention and proper form. And that foundation will be what gets you those results. And those workouts are what will help you in the moment to switch things up, get out of a funk, and to increase your total daily energy expenditure, which is where that weight loss is created. But we want you guys to see the body recomposition mostly, because that's what people are truly after when they begin their health and fitness journey. And if you guys listened this far into the episode and you have questions on progressive overload, when to work out, when to train, or you just want someone to flat out write a plan for you, we are those people. Like we said, we see so many people wanting to see that change after doing it on their own for so long. And typically that thing you need is the only thing you haven't tried. So for a lot of people, that is investing in a coach. And we do it in such an educational way where we teach you, like even listening on this podcast, you could create your whole workout program. You could do a cut by yourself. You could do a reverse diet. You could do a bulking phase and do it all on your own with the information we've given you for free. But truly that accountability and that expertise that we provide is like where the magic really happens for a lot of people. So we always have our coaching applications linked down below in our newsletters, which we once again give more free information every single week for you guys. And also the links to grab the Nash bars as well. So if you guys like today's episode, please share on your stories, tag me, tag Zach, tag Life Rewired. It would mean the absolute world to us if you leave a review as well. And we will see you guys next week.
Peace out, guys.